Broadcasting from the confines of an abandoned radio station in the secluded ghost town of High Strangeness on the lowlands of the Colorado Rockies, it's time for full disclosure of the topics they told us were off limits. Hello, everybody. Connie Willis here. How are you doing tonight? Do you think you know what a real fairy looks like? I think you might be surprised. Hang in there. I know I was. I'm still surprised about it. And lots of evidence, audio and video, all put together for you in a little like box or maybe tablet or phone or, well, you know, it's all changed now, but it's all together for you. And I think you're going to like it, especially if you like, you know, Bigfoot and UFOs and volcanoes and what might be in them and underground and Phil Schneider. Well, you hang in there for that. I think you're going to like it. Join me now because it's time to turn off the lights and join me for another interesting evening of conversation, much needed education, and the chance that we might get a little closer to the truth of what lurks amongst us and what is beyond. I'm Connie Willis, and this is Coast to Coast AM. Hello, everybody. You're listening to Coast AM. Connie Willis here. How's it going for you? A new month is about to happen. You know what? I forgot. Is it leap year or not? I forgot to check that out. You're going to have to check that out. I'm going to have to look at that. So, because we'll know. We'll find out. We'll see. Well, I'm excited about tonight. We got some really neat things. I'm going to learn a few things as well because I tried to hold off on asking the questions so I could learn as you do because I was a little like, I took a left instead of a right. I thought, wow, this is going to be good. So I'll tell you what that is in a second. Just, hey, if you're looking to find me somewhere else other than Coast to Coast, my show is called Blue Rock Talk with Connie Willis. And it has a couple different things on it. Far Out Thursday, which talks about everything except Bigfoot, because I have a Bigfoot Friday. And those are just the interview shows, just little classic shows I've done along the way. And I throw in because the actual main feature of it is what I call my latest project, and that's Creepy Hotspots, where I take you to an active, known active, real hotspot that researchers go to. They get activity, whether it's Bigfoot or Dogman, strange lights, or you know, maybe even a haunting, whatever it is. I mean, and boy, are they all coming together, by the way. And that's what we do, is we really look into the similarities of all this. It is a membership. It's not a podcast. It's not just you know, little 101 show of, hey, is this real or not? No. We're not that debate is gone. So if you want to go deeper, if you want to figure out what it's all about, if you want to, you know, really truly put the pieces of the puzzle together, as people like to say, that's what we do. I go there with live investigations. You're a part of it with me. If it's a haunting, it's like 10 to 12 hours. And if it's a maybe a dogman thing or a Bigfoot thing or strange lights, which, by the way, strange lights are happening at all these things. More and more we're seeing those. And that's, to me, the scariest of all, because it always feels a little weird in the next 2 weeks, a little sinister feeling, a little PTSD thing going on, really, honestly, with all of us. So anyway, that's what we do. And we're out there investigating live, and you can join and you watch from home safely. And you say, hey, Connie, something's around you, or something's around the other person. You keep an eye out for us too. And this next month, we're going, which is like, golly, in the next couple of days here, we're going to be going to Waverly Hills. So it's going to be a 10 to 12 hour investigation, a private tour at Waverly Hills Sanatorium. So, you know, we touch everyone, the ghost people, the Bigfoot people, the dogman people, the remote viewers, everybody, because we use those tools as well. And it's really fun. Everybody gets along. We have a really good group. It's a membership. So when you go to it, yeah, don't look at it and think, this is a podcast. No. It's a community, and it's fun, and it's video, and it's live stream, and it is awesome. So I hope that you guys will check it out. BlueRockTalk.tv, BlueRockTalk.tv. And if you go to it now and you look straight up, if you're a Coast to Coast fan, you're going to get half price. So look at the very top. You'll see a little Coast to Coast fan coupon up there. Okay. See the benefits of listening to this show, the best show on the planet, Coast to Coast AM. All right. So thank all of you guys as well for all the emails and the texts and all the nice stuff that you guys say, inviting me to the events that may happen in the future. I also appreciate that. Yes, I do speak. And yes, I do MC. So thank you so much for that. And those of you asking me for talk on your podcast and your different shows out there? Of course, absolutely. You know what? If people didn't do that for me, I wouldn't even be right here right now. So, you know, you got to do that. And if people say no to you, if you've got 10 people, you don't want to talk to them anyway, right? You know, come on, that's what you do. That's what you do. And I appreciate that you guys even want me, the Dank Tank podcast, on their YouTube channel. We had a blast. They're vets as well as gamers. And we just had a good time and we got deep into it. We got deep into the subject. In fact, we need to get them on Coast at some point because they talk about the PTSD feeling, and also what it's like to like go Bigfooting or do something like that, where you're out there, that search and what's around you and that kind of feeling. So it was really interesting to have that conversation. Good people, real good people. And I appreciate being able to help them and them help me, you know, because it all helps each other. I enjoy that. So thanks everybody. And also I want to say thanks too, because you guys said, hey, we really like when you tell us about the online businesses and new work for us, because COVID did take us down and has taken us down and is still taking us down. And we need work. And some of you have been successful already. So that's great. I'm glad to hear that. And thanks for letting me know and keeping me up on that, because you know, that is a phenomenon, and that is, you know, Coast is about that. And for all of us to be wiped out in a lot of ways, one of the ways we got to get back in, we have to, the world goes around with money. We need to make money again and to bring on those people that can help you in a different way and teach you, because you think you're already over the hill of that. That's what, you know, I just thought that was important, and I'm glad that you guys did too. And I'm glad that it's affecting you guys in a good, positive way, because we need that for sure. So thanks. I appreciate that, and more to come on that. I like to pick and choose and get the right people, you know, because that's important. That's totally important. And speaking of the right person, oh, by the way, anybody hear about a lawmaker in Oklahoma that wants to do something about Bigfoot hunting season for real? Oh, wait a minute. Don't kill them. Just trap them for $25,000. If you trap a Bigfoot, hey, $25,000 is yours. It's just a tourism thing, right? That's all. No. If you've heard about that and you know, I'm like, we got to get this guy on. So you guys can talk to him too, right? Reach out and give your word. I think it's not really a, hey, let's like just totally beat this guy up verbally. It's more of a, let's educate this guy correctly. And then if he's got the opportunity to have, you know, NBC Nightly News and all the actual, I mean, he was all over the news, right? All over. So if he's got that much attention, let's teach him what it's about. I mean, he's in Oklahoma. First of all, that's like, you know, there's more Bigfoot per capita than people is what they boast, right? And it's cool. I've been there. It's they have invisible ones too, by the way. I've been touched by them. It's crazy there, but great people and lots of happenings out there. So we need to teach him so that when he has that spotlight with so many people looking at him across the country, let's let him tell the real deal and what it's really about. Let's re-educate this guy on what we've learned here on Coast to Coast, right? I mean, all these years of studying it, all these years of George Norrie talking to 50 billion people about it, right? We're on 7 nights a week. Come on, and more than once. So, you know, we've got the goods. And so why wouldn't we be the ones to talk to him and say, wait, now you got it wrong here. Let's just, since you're going to be like a spokesperson for it right now, let's give you the right answers. And if you all like that idea better than, you know, just throwing them up against the wall and, you know, boo, 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 which, you know, I know a lot of us want to do, probably even the Bigfoot, but, you know, let's just educate him correctly and let him know, you know, what to do with that spotlight. I think that would be a good idea. So, let's, if you like that, let us know. All right. So now, fairies, what do you know about fairies? What do you know? Think about it right now. Visualize it in your head. Fairies. What do you think? Now, I've been out you know, I am boots on the ground. I'm out there, you know, George Norrie says, hey, where's Willis? Hey, I'm over here. I'm in a cave. I'm over here. Right. I got to do more of those. It's so much fun. I love my favorite thing in the world is the way he says, where's Willis? It's just great. So fairies are something that when we're out a lot on the things that I do and, golly, just all our lives, I think everybody's, oh, a little fairy, look, little Tinkerbell. We all think Tinkerbell for the most part, right? For the most part. I think for the most part, we think Tinkerbell. So let's go a little further. Okay, little tiny, little bitty wings, little bitty thing, you know, flying around, nice, sweet, kind, little fairy. In fact, the other day, somebody had a little light in their picture that they showed, and it was really cool looking. It was this beautiful blue. And those people are probably listening right now. And somebody mentioned it's a fairy. And I'm like, oh no, I think you're going to be surprised. You got to listen to Coast when I'm on, because you're going to be surprised. Because I know I'm still like, what? So let's, without further ado, first time on, I believe as well, Morgan Daimler is going to be talking to us about the fairies. She's one of the world's leading experts on all things fairies, fairy folklore, and the way these older mythological beliefs have intersected with today's popular and modern culture. And she's following a path that's inspired by the Irish fairy faith. Okay. And that's blended with the neo-pagan witchcraft. So yeah. Okay. There's a little twist going on in there. Some things happening. And Morgan teaches classes too on Irish mythology, magical practices. We're talking fairies and related subjects throughout the U.S. and also internationally. And she's also contributed to multiple anthologies and magazines and taught workshops on these topics across the United States and internationally. Maybe you know her. I know I've seen her before. I've talked to her briefly because she was also cool about, hey, let's talk about this on the air and let's all be surprised at the same time. And I got enough to go, whoa, really? So let's bring her on. Morgan, nice to meet you, talk with you again, and welcome to Coast. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me on.
Oh, I'm excited about this because, as you know, Morgan, when we were talking, and I know you get it from everybody for the most part, is little Tinkerbell. She's going to talk about Tinkerbell. And when I had said something to you, like, you know, when I do these interviews, I love it when I get to hit an area that the people that do interviews all the time, they say, man, everybody asks me the same 10 things, you know, the top 10 things. And I really want to talk about this or this. So I remember asking you about, hey, is there something, you know, you never get to talk about? And you said, ask me what one looks like. And I thought, well, that's going to be my first question. But I didn't even think to do that. Honestly, probably I wouldn't have even asked that because, come on, it's Tinkerbell. But here's your first question. What does a fairy look like?
Yeah, it is a really good question. And I think, you know, there is sort of just that cultural assumption, especially in the U.S., that it is that small little Tinkerbell. But the reality is, you know, the word fairy actually isn't a specific term. It's sort of a general term that applies to a lot of different things. So we have fairies that look like cats. We have fairies that look like dogs or horses. And we have the bulk of fairies, really, that people experience and see or, you know, in the older stories and folklore, look very human. Look pretty much the same way a human would, just clearly something's not quite human about them.
A little odd.
Yeah, they usually stand out a bit. People have experiences with them. You know, they usually either during the experience or immediately after are like, I don't think that person was human. There was something going on there.
Oh, see, I always think that's a hybrid. So I'm always like, okay, that's a half alien, half person right there. But it could be a fairy.
Well, there's a whole debate among the communities. Mm. I know it's shocking to think there could be a controversy between different communities.
What?
I know. It is. It's shocking. Between the fairy-believing community, if you will, and sort of the UFO community, the ufologists, where from the fairy perspective, there are people, and I'm one of them, you know, to be fair, full disclosure, who tend to see alien and UFO experiences as modern fairy encounters.
Oh!
I know. Sort of as the culture changed and the fiction changed and became sci-fi, that is how they started presenting themselves to people. And obviously, the flip side of that, there's a lot of ufologists who see older fairy encounters in folklore as historic alien encounters. So it's a continuous debate.
Ah, well, you know, and people also think the abductions and the aliens coming down and all that stuff, they think they're angels, and some think they're good ones, some think they're bad ones. And you're right. I mean, everything. Wow. Okay. Well, that's cool. That's interesting to put it to the fairies. Yeah. 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 Absolutely. So, wow. But you know what? It also kind of fits in with what I would think of as a fairy, the big eyes. And that also fits in with the alien thing, too, that those big eyes, when you see, like, especially a female with big eyes, when people, you know, if you people draw up a picture or anything, I don't know if I've ever seen a real one. Maybe I have. I don't know. But they're beautiful, actually. But are they mean? Are they nice? Are they?
All of the above. I mean, the experiences people have really run that whole range. You know, you have some that can be very helpful or kind, can be associated with things like healing. And then you have the complete opposite end of that, where you have some who are, you know, really dangerous and will hurt people. Or kill them. So, you know,
jeez.
Really dangerous. Let me emphasize.
How do I know that one? Do they wear a black hat or something?
No, but they're usually pretty clear. They don't pretend not to be malicious. they're pretty clear.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and then, of course, everything in between. You know, it's really that full range. So,
you know what, Morgan? You know what you just said? You just said something, and I just to go back to that, when you said, no, they're pretty straightforward of how they are. You know, when I have met what I believed was a hybrid, and I would ask them something that most any other normal person would say no to, they would say, yep, that was me.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that makes sense that you say that and then refer to them too as they could be, you know, what we believe are hybrids as well. So yeah, they're pretty straight up. I don't know if they don't lie at all, but they certainly aren't ashamed of what they just did that a normal person would say, oh, I didn't do that. Right?
Yeah. Fairies in folklore and in stories, anecdotal accounts, all of that, don't lie. They can't lie, or it's just a cultural thing with them. They won't lie. I mean, they can still be deceptive. They can be very tricky in how they answer things, but they'll never outright tell a lie. So I guess that's also another way you can kind of tell them.
Yeah. Yeah, because there was like no remorse, no anything. And I'm thinking, wow, why would you even say that? I knew to ask you it, and I knew it was you, but you just, you know, what do you do when someone throws it back at you? That's when you think, yeah, okay, that's cool. Okay, I appreciate that.
Yeah. Well, I'm not trying to convince you that what you experienced actually was a fairy, but that is another fairy thing. They're kind of known to, they sort of have their own system of etiquette and their own approach to things, and they're known to, like, with emotions, to be very extreme. Like, either it's completely nothing, sort of a blank, or extremely happy or extremely angry, and they can go back and forth very quickly between them, and the way they interact is not the way humans would interact. I know I keep emphasizing that, and it sounds kind of weird, but
no, not at all. I'm waiting for the examples. I'm ready. I'm writing them down. I'm ready for you.
They have their own whole system of things. So, like in stories, they're very rigid about manners, and they expect humans to have good manners with them, but they don't like people saying thank you. That offends them.
What?
Yeah. It seems to be because they don't have the same concept of time that we have, which, again, like you would see when people talk about alien abductions, the idea that there's a time difference that happens. People experience less time or more time. So there's this kind of idea with fairies as well that time for them sort of runs differently, or they experience it differently. So they can be kind of archaic to us. And thank you used to, like hundreds and hundreds of years ago, literally imply an obligation or a debt to whoever you were talking to. Something that like lower ranked people would say to higher ranked people and not the other way around.
Got it. Well, hold that thought and think of all the other list of things that are examples for us so that we can hear them when we come back. Morgan Daimler telling us about fairies, and we've got more of that to come along with the Irish folklore. Wow, I've already learned a whole lot. This is great. I'm looking forward to more of it. Stay with us. This is Connie Willis, and this is a Morgan Daimler that we're talking to about fairies. Welcome back to Coast AM. Hi, everybody. This is Connie Willis. We are discussing fairies, everything fairies, by one of the world's leading experts on all things fairy. It's Morgan Daimler. And Morgan, I think right before we left off, you were giving us some examples, and I'm trying to remember the examples of which, because I just got engulfed in thinking about all the different things you were talking about. Now I'm looking back to see, have I met a fairy along the way? So what were the examples, I'm sorry, that you started?
It is a lot.
It's so fascinating already, too, really.
The ways that they're different, that they interact differently than humans would. Let's see, another thing is they tend to be very particular about words. Like if you make a promise, then that's it. It doesn't matter what happens, you know, that you stick exactly to that.
I'm a fairy. I agree.
Yeah, that's not a bad way to be.
That's right.
Very into semantics. So like the meanings of words, you have to kind of be careful how you talk with them if you think you are, you know, encountering one. You know, because we have a lot of things that we say that are more expressions than literal in English, like, can I help you, which can be said in a genuine way or a sarcastic way to someone. But if you say that to something that's sort of, you know, not from this world or dimension, some people do argue that fairies are extra-dimensional beings, sort of a modern take on describing their nature, what they are. You know, they'll take you very, very literally in what you say.
Mm-hmm.
They're kind of strange with, like, if you borrow something from them, you're expected to repay it exactly. But if they borrow something from you, they tend to over repay. They'll give you back more than they took, sort of a thing.
Oh, okay. They can borrow money anytime. It's fine. Okay. Yeah. I like that.
And then, you know, there's things with fairies, you know, like you're not supposed to eat food or drink anything that they offer you because that'll kind of trap you with them or bring you into their world, sort of a thing. Which is
what?
Yeah. And that's something else that we kind of see a little bit of a crossover with some of the UFO and alien encounters. There have been examples where people talk about aliens offering them food or forcing them to have some sort of food. And we see that with fairies as well. But with fairies, there's this idea that it sort of connects you to them in some way or obligates you to them in some way.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. So no free fairy cupcakes. That would be bad.
Okay. I'm thinking, they got roofies in there? What's going on? You know, that's okay. No food from anybody from now on. Okay.
No free samples.
I'm in the culinary world too. Yeah, exactly. No free samples. That's right. When you go to these conventions and conferences, you know, there was always, oh, try these little samples. Oh my gosh. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, that's I'm writing this one down. Of the modern takes on the folklore that people will talk about, that as long as you pay for it or you exchange something for it, you're fine. It's more if you take it and it's free, or, you know, you take it in that sort of a context, because then it would put you in their debt. You would owe them something. Or it would give them permission to sort of do whatever they want to do to you, which is not a good thing.
Oh, okay. I got you. Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. So hence the no free samples.
I've marked that one down. I like that. Well, as you're talking about the difference between fairies and ETs, what about the difference between fairies and ghosts? Is there some sort of resemblance there, or do people kind of, you know, because to me, it was still Tinkerbell. So this is a whole new thing now.
Yeah, it is for a lot of people. And yeah, I think, you know, part of why this was something that I had particularly wanted to discuss with you is that when I see people doing paranormal investigations or hear people talking about it, there's not a lot of times, but there's definitely a percentage of times where I think to myself, like, oh, you're not dealing with a haunting. You're dealing with fairies, and that's a whole different, entirely different thing to be dealing with. The thing with fairies is that in the folklore and in anecdotal accounts, they can pass invisibly around people. The idea is that they have this ability to sort of confuse people's senses. So they can be there and you won't see them, you won't be aware of them. So I think this is where the confusion with ghosts sort of starts, that you have these beings around you that you can't necessarily see, unless you happen to be someone who has a talent for seeing things that other people can't normally see. And it's not uncommon, as I said, for people to be experiencing things that they sort of put down as a haunting, sort of unexplained phenomena. But it might not necessarily be a haunting. The biggest difference between fairies and ghosts, of course, are generally, you know, the spirits of deceased humans. Fairies are not. Fairies can be tangible and physical. They can interact with you just like another living human would. A lot of the anecdotal accounts, like I said at the beginning, are people who think they're dealing initially with other humans, and then things kind of go sideways, and it becomes clear that they're not. But because they can also be around you, and you might not know that, you know, when you have a haunting, there's certain sort of key things that I would look for, electronics glitching, batteries draining, you know, those are kind of signs that you have ghosts, that sort of spirit around, temperature right. drops, objects moving, usually slightly, but noticeably. When you have physical experiences with ghosts, it's usually relatively subtle or relatively quick. You know, people will describe feeling like a hand on their shoulder, their hair being pulled, things like that. When you have things like fairies going on, you know, the physicality, of course, they can be a whole different thing. But you tend to see other sorts of things happening. You can, of course, hear things when ghosts are around, but with fairies, it tends to be louder and easier to hear. Like, everyone who's there would hear it. And you don't need special equipment to hear it. You would hear it just sitting in the room. Laughter, talking, music. Sometimes people will describe hearing the sound of like horses and dogs going by, which is a particular type of fairy experience. Objects actually disappearing is usually fairies, as opposed to just moving a little bit. If it's just completely gone, and then it'll reappear sometimes months later in a completely different location. I actually had that happen myself. I had lost something in one house, and we actually moved to a completely separate house. And a month or so after we'd moved, the item that I lost, it was a bracelet. I found it in the middle of my bathroom floor at the new house, and that's kind of a really typical fairy activity to have happen.
And it wasn't your roommate saying, or whoever it was with you saying, "Look, it must have been a fairy because they had it."
Yeah. No.
Well, okay.
Yeah. I actually had another incident where that had happened, where it was a ring, had disappeared from the house, and it showed up in the I don't smoke, so I have change in the ashtray of my car, but it showed up in the ashtray of my car like a year later. It was very strange. So things like that, where it's just very odd, and usually there's enough time that goes by that you've sort of given up on the object. You assume it's lost, basically. And another big thing, difference between fairies and ghosts, is when you get that sort of motion out of the corner of your eye, peripheral vision thing, that often is fairies. Generally, people, if you're going to see ghosts or if ghosts are going to manifest, it's more of a direct, like you'll see them, even if it's just for a moment. But that motion in the peripheral vision thing, that tends more often to be fairies.
Geez, that's hard because, that's what most people talk about when they, ghosts. I see it out of the corner of my eye. And then even a lot of Bigfooters believe that the Bigfoot is inside their place, invisible, and they will take, like you might offer them something, and they'll take it, and they'll move something around, and maybe it shows back up later somewhere else. And so it's, to me, my whole thing is looking at all the similarities of all of them. And so now I can bring in the fairies, and they're doing the same thing. It's more similarities, like you're
Yeah.
saying, with the ghost. And oh my gosh, it's one day it's all going to wake up. We're all going to see it, right? No.
And I think part of what is so fascinating with all of this, part of what really keeps me interested in it, because I've been, studying this and involved in it, I guess you would say, for, 20, 25 years, is there's always more to it. There's
Yeah.
always, more to uncover and more, it's just there's it's such a complicated thing.
Yeah.
I mean, talking about Bigfoot, there's people who, wonder if things like cryptids might be a type of fairy or connected to fairies, because sometimes there's similarities in the folklore, the stories related to them. So, I mean, ultimately, I think we don't really know. Does that
Yeah,
make
I
sense?
agree. And we're thinking like humans as well, right? We're thinking as much outside of the box as we can possibly get, but it's probably something we can't even imagine in our own head that all of them are. I mean, if you read, one of my favorite people is Dr. David M. Jacobs, and he does regresses the alien abductees, contactees, and everybody wants to, they got their label. But he believes that anything you see, anything, if you think it's a ghost, if you think it's a Bigfoot, if you think it's a fairy, a clown, it's an ET. It's an alien. That's his thing. He's just flat out, nah, that's what it is.
All
And I
aliens.
think they can all do that. I think they can all make put a vision in your head. Can fairies do the same?
Yeah. Oh,
Okay.
yeah, definitely. Fairies can manipulate. They have a, in folklore, it's referred to as glamour. It's a particular type of magic or ability, enchantment, whatever you want to call it, where they can cause a human being to perceive whatever they choose for that person to perceive. And that's all senses, sight, smell, taste, touch. So, they're definitely capable of influencing a person in that way. And we have lots of stories about that. Things like people being given what they thought was gold coins or, coins, money, and the next morning it's a pile of leaves or gingerbread.
Oh, come
Or
on. Yuck.
I told you someone told me
Gingerbread. No.
today.
Yeah.
At least you can eat the gingerbread. You probably shouldn't, but you
I don't
could.
know. You said
Yeah.
stay away from that. I might be obligated.
People who, they go somewhere and they, when they first get there, they think it's this beautiful castle and, there's these very richly appointed rooms, and then, something happens that kind of breaks that, and they realize they're inside this sort of like dank cave kind of
Oh.
situation. So they can definitely really, really affect what you're perceiving if they choose to. which is why, as I said earlier, some people argue that modern alien encounters are just fairies, sort of in fancy dress and costume.
Yeah.
You know, giving people what they expect.
Where are they? Okay, if you like an alien or something, or you know, some of them are right off the ship, right? They're right off the ship. They're dropped down, boom, run around, and you know, where do fairies come from? Are they born? Or are they what?
Yep. You know, the general idea with fairies in that sense, sort of like the biological sense, would be that they, you know, they're born pretty much the way a human would be, but they generally don't die from old age. You know, they'll live until something kills them, effectively. You know,
you need a wooden stake or what? How do you take one of these out if you need to?
I mean, a wooden stake would kill most things, so that would definitely
That's true. I agree.
They tend to be in folklore, and this is sort of across a range of different cultures. You know, the Celtic cultures, the Norse, and sort of all that, Western European in particular. Iron is a big thing that they're averse to, and salt. So,
salt.
You know, there's all sorts of theories as to why that is, but it just seems like they don't like being around those particular substances.
Well, salt always is something, right, to put it around you for some sort of, like, safety, right? Put it around the house. And
attachment. Yeah, that's a very, very old folk belief, and that's found all over the place. I think every human culture that has salt. Something about, you know, grounding and protection and purification. It's good for all that.
Ah, wear that little salt lick around your neck, that deer salt lick, put it around your neck and lick it every now and then if you'd like, but
yeah,
we'd always get
local wildlife.
You know, it's funny. My mom always just would love salt on everything she made and cooked, and she put so much on it. We'd all be, oh, there's no way. I mean, more than anybody should ever put on anything, but we would, the joke was always if she had a salt lick, she would put salt on it. And so anyway, think about that one for a little bit. So we're talking with Morgan Daimler, and she is one of the world's leading experts on all things fairy. So we're going to ask a little bit more about, you know, who's, you know, what this perspective of this, the Irish background. I know a lot of people from Ireland that are going to be texting me and go, Connie, ask this and that and this and that. And we'll take some calls as well. Okay. So Connie Willis here, along with Morgan Daimler. We're talking fairies here on Coast to Coast AM.